Mystery Crate has been presented by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Hello, Master Craters. We're going to workshop. We're workshopping a new nickname for them, and that was one of the suggestions. Master Craters.
I like it.
It's Blue. The nickname. It's Blue. We have a treat for you, which is something I always say, but I really do like this episode. It's a shipping container. Roy, Billy, Chris, and Anthony. How's it going, Anthony?
I'm good.
And Mike Golic Jr. stops by in this episode. And myself and Mike Golic Jr., we have a common shared interest, and that is our love of kicks, sneakers, shoes. And we text about it privately all the time, and through our text exchange, I was like, hey, we should do an episode on shoes. However, slight issue. No one else outside of Anthony in this whole shipping container really likes shoes or certainly understands the whole hype around the whole kick game deal. So part of this pod is exploring our passion for shoes, but really trying to convince Billy, Roy, and Chris to get in the game, much like I'm trying to convince them to get into this intro by looking all at them while they don't look at me at all.
I was looking.
Right next to you.
I was going to say,
I love shoes. I'm just not a jerk about it like you guys.
I need really expensive shoes. Money. This is going well.
Appreciate you giving me something.
Yeah.
Let's tell the fine people about ZipRecruiter. Anthony, with your debut in the copy.
Boys, hiring can be a slow process, am I right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So slow.
He is also looking around for something from you guys.
I was. For a second. Cafeo Toro CEO Dylan Miskowitz needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, but he was having some trouble finding qualified applicants. So he switched to ZipRecruiter.
That's a heady play.
Yeah, he did. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. How about that?
I like the ad libs.
Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. So you get qualified candidates. What?
And fast.
Fast.
Oh, yeah.
Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter and said that he was impressed by how quickly he had great candidates apply. He also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. And that, my friends, is how Dylan Miskowitz found his new director of coffee in just a few days. It's
Gretchen Huebner.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Believe it or not.
Wow.
Needed a second job.
Yeah. They found each other.
Thanks to ZipRecruiter. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Mm.
See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address. ZipRecruiter.
Whoa. It can't be free.
No. It is. Not free. A typo. It is free. F-R-E-E. Free.
Holy shoot. I was going to curse.
I didn't know if they wanted cursing.
So
no,
yeah.
Do that. We're trying to sell stuff here.
Reflect poorly on Dylan.
I thought of it. I almost appreciate it.
Yeah.
Centering yourself is good. Yeah.
This is a positive step in your development.
Our web address again, ZipRecruiter.com/crate. That's ZipRecruiter.com/CRATE. ZipRecruiter.com/crate. ZipRecruiter. It's the smartest way to hire.
Yeah, it
is.
Yeah,
so this is Mike Golic Jr.'s debut here on the Mystery Crate, and it was between this and another episode we had in the can, but at the very end, Chris Cody makes a joke about Thanksgiving, so we had to do it this week.
Spoiler. Good job, Chris.
Listen to it, tell us what you think, and make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Here it is, Gojo's debut with a shipping container on Mystery Crate. Now, most of you in our audience are familiar with Mike Golic Jr., as whenever Stu Gatz is lazy on Supodity, he calls Mike Golic Jr. and the rest of the crew from Weekend Observations, and he mails in a pod by having them do all the heavy lifting. Yep. Mike Golic Jr., also a Notre Dame grad. You're a graduate, right?
Oh, yeah. Actually, made it through. I was not one of the ones that got to leave after 3 years for being good at football.
Yes. Congratulations.
Mike Golic Jr., also known, I believe it's in your Wikipedia, he announced his retirement from professional football on the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz. So one of the biggest stories we've ever broken.
It's a big day for everyone, man. I was proud to share that with you guys. It meant a lot to me that you would allow me to come into your house and do that.
What was your degree in? I know this isn't what we're going to talk about, but I'm just wondering.
Film, theater, and television. We didn't have like communications as a degree at Notre Dame, so I had to do the fancy version.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, Mike Golic Jr., I know he looks about 47 years old, but he's actually younger than us, I believe. How old are you, Mike?
Just turned 30 at the end of September.
Yeah, he's a little baby boy. He's a little baby boy. And like little baby boys, he has cool and hip things that he likes. Number one being shoes. I strongly argue that Mike Golic Jr. has the sickest kicks. Man, I'm 34 now. I should probably stop saying that. The sweetest looking shoes. I mean, they're real doozies over there on UGOJO at ESPN. You really have a really strong, strong shoe game. Now, GetUp is trying to compete with you. Have you noticed what's going on with the GetUp dress code?
Yeah, you know what? So I've seen that, and I know Dominique Foxworth, who spends a lot of time with you guys down in South Beach, has really been one of the main ones I've seen, like him and Maria really getting after this. And I see what they're doing. I appreciate it. I mean, it's a valiant effort. It's not going to get there, but everyone can try.
Now, I've noticed from following you on Instagram that you're currently a free agent in this shoe game. You'll accept any and all shoes, but I've also noticed you subtly and not so subtly begging straight up for any sort of free stuff. Is that accurate?
Yeah, oh, entirely accurate. Listen, every man has a price. Mine just happens to be extremely low.
All right, so I want to run some shoe takes by you. Nick Costos is a friend of the Mystery Crate, and we spoke with him mostly about gambling, but at the very end, he had some hot shoe takes. Number one being the Jordan 1s, totally overrated.
Ooh, I strong disagree on that one. Like, to me, the Jordan 1's like a beautiful blank canvas, and they do a lot with it. This is the other thing. Like, there are, like, the traditional sneakerheads. Like, I didn't grow up with, like, a favorite pair of Jordans that had some significance because of something that MJ actually did in it. Like, I like what I like. I like things that are visually a little bit different. And the Jordan 1, you can just do a ton with. So strong disagree with me on that one.
He had this take generally on basketball shoes that he feels a little ridiculous wearing basketball shoes because they're meant for the sport of basketball. He prefers Yeezys and Ultra Boosts because that's really more in line with what he does day to day. Now, I do like basketball shoes and I do think that they serve the purpose, but I can agree somewhat with this take. Your whole stance on wearing basketball shoes as your main go-to glamour shoe.
Yeah, I generally stay away from it. Now, I think some of the Jordans have been so normalized over the course of time that, like, if you're wearing Jordan 1s or 11s, to me, those are more of a fashion statement than they are a basketball shoe anymore. But, like, right now, I'm wearing a pair of Kyries, and for a bit, I did feel ridiculous because they've got the Velcro strap. There's good ankle support. I don't need this walking the halls of ESPN. Like, I don't have to worry about Mikey C trying to put a spin move on me and all of a sudden D-ing him up.
Gojo, it's Anthony. What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Listen, so I got in a little late on the Jordan 1. I believe the Jordan 1 to be the best silhouette of a Jordan shoe of all time. And that goes through 34 of them. I think that's number one. I have a fundamental problem with wearing basketball shoes outside of a basketball court. So I don't believe that any basketball shoe that you could use to play basketball should be worn outside in normal life. What's your take on that?
Yeah, disagree with that one too. Like, I own a couple of pairs of LeBrons and a couple of pair of Kyries now. I think I have a pair of the Paul George NASA inspired shoes. And I think at some point, like, intent matters as much as anything. So I think if you're going out with the intent to be out and about, you can do something with the rest of the outfit to it. Cause that's the other thing. Like, I can't dress. And so I am requiring these shoes to do the heavy lifting. And if a basketball shoe is done up in such a way where it can do the heavy lifting to me, I don't discriminate with that. Plus, I don't play basketball. So none of them are really basketball shoes for me.
I'm a late bloomer in this whole shoe game. I think it started with one pair, the LeBron Black History Months. And then since it took over as kind of a, not really an addiction, but a passion. We haven't quite gotten to addictive levels. I still haven't, I think the most I've spent for it, well, I don't want to do that, but I haven't gone to like totally obscene amounts of money just yet. I think the most I ever dropped on a pair were the Sakais, which is, made Complex's top 10, in terms of
beautiful
the
2019. Shoe, by the way.
It's a gorgeous
beautiful.
Shoe. Oh, although that beauty. Lip that
it
pops
the,
out.
It made the Complex. Complex top 10? Wow.
I see what you're trying to do with it. But
you screwed
is,
up on the sarcasm there. Yeah. I mean, come on now.
I see what you're trying to do. But Chris Swallow Cody.
Your food.
See, here's the thing. Chris Cody can't really. He wants to be a part of this conversation so much so that in the middle of it, he left, got up, and got chicken wings, and now he's back and is clearing his mouth of blue cheese.
I'm rack room all day. Buy one, get one half off. I got my Perry Ellis's working right now. Whenever you guys need me, I'm here.
He is not a shoe guy whatsoever. Like, I'll show up wearing the Pineapple House Kyrie Irving's from like that SpongeBob collaboration and doesn't even bat an eye. I cannot impress him. How can we – what's the perfect shoe to get Chris – at all interested in this, or is it just the feeling of conquest, getting something that's considered a grail, something hard to get that all of a sudden gets you into this game? What was it for you, Mike Olick Jr.?
I'm trying to like go back because I actually like the beauty of the sneakers app is it tracks all of my purchases that I've had on it. So I was trying to go back and find Patient Zero. I think the first one for me was years ago when they re-released like the Space Jams, like the Jordan 11 Space Jams, one of the a classic silhouette. I know we were talking about that, but B, another one of those like coveted, historically significant shoes for a lot of people. And it was something simple like that, because now I go gaudy. Like, Mike, me and you share very similar tastes in the fact that we like a fair amount of loud colors and stuff like that, like something that's going to pop and try and impress people that are around the way. But back then, I was, again, a little baby late to the shoe game. I was someone who came to it at a different part of my life. So I'm pretty sure it was the Space Jam that was like my first one. It's like, all right, I can rock this conservatively and then find my way to louder brands.
How many pairs of shoes do you think you own right now?
So I did a casual count the other day, and I think of just sneakers, like excluding dress shoes, I'm at 75 pairs.
Jesus
Christ.
So do you like go through the sneaker app and like you see how many you're buying and how frequently you're buying it and how much you're spending? You're like, I think I have a problem.
I made the mistake of like just doing a casual bit of math one day, and the number scared me, so I just stopped.
How often do you wear these shoes? Because, like, I'm not in on this whole sneaker fad, in part because, like, I see they're really expensive, and I'm like, you know, I don't have a place to put these shoes. I'm not going to wear them. And also, for me, maybe it's different from you. For me, comfort is key. So, like, I see a lot of these shoes, and I'm like, they just look so uncomfortable. Like, I don't care if they look nice and they're cool looking. If they're uncomfortable, I don't want to be walking around stuck in shoes that give me blisters or just make me feel crappy. You know what I mean?
Totally, totally fair. And that's actually, there's a fair amount of, especially Jordans, which are usually super boxy and a little too firm for my liking, that I just don't wear. Like, that's why I love like Jordan 4s and Jordan 3s, some of the big cushiony ones that are comfortable like that. But no, I'm with you. And I for one, as far as like wearing them, because I have like a lot of nice ones, like, and Michael understand this, like the Off-Whites, he mentioned the Sakais, like some of the ones that are deemed a little bit more exclusive that some people wouldn't wear out as much. My whole thought process is if I am going to spend this kind of money on shoes, I'm going to get the utility out of them. I'm going to wear them out. I'm going to wear them around. I'm going to have fun with them. And then, you know, if there is some, you know, marks along the way that come, like, that's the cost of living in them. To me, that's the fun of it.
You have like a go-to pair of shoes or like a rotation, like four or five that like this is everyday use? Because like this may be surprising because you guys don't view me as like a sneaker person. But if I were to count, I'd say I probably have somewhere in the range of like 30 to 40 sneakers.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That is shocking.
Well, but okay, here's Bill. The thing. But I only wear like four of them. You know what I mean? Because like a lot of them I bought and they're not like fancy. They're not like Jordans or any things that people like would like. These are things that I bought probably like early on when I was a lot younger. I'd say my early 20s, and I'd go on like Finish Line and like just see what's on sale. And I'd just get shoes that I thought like popped that I liked. And I'm like, you know what? $60 for a pair of shoes, not a big deal. But now I see it. It's like, I'm not going to spend like $200 on shoes. And I regret some of the shoes that I bought because, again, I only wear like four or five pairs of shoes. Like I have a pair of Adidas that were like Adidas Superstars that are almost like peacock looking in print. And then the stripes are like this like light green thing that I bought at like a store that was closing. I'm like, you know what? These are pretty cool looking shoes, right? I didn't even realize when I bought them that they glow in the dark. Whoa. So that was an added level that I didn't realize that I had on those shoes. But I never wear those shoes anymore. Like I wore them like two times and they're just sitting in a closet somewhere.
Yeah, that part's tough. And you know what? That's the other thing is I try and make sure that it is a steady rotation. Like again, if I bought them, I want to use them and I want to wear them. So I feel like for the most part, I've done a pretty good job of spreading them out. I will say like I have, so in my house, I have a room upstairs that was just kind of like a little extra room. Like it wasn't big enough to be a bedroom. It's small. I don't use it for much. And so I have all my sneakers, all the boxes. I buy a ton of stuff from the Container Store in there. So they've all got their own like plastic container with a little drop down front. And so I keep those all in that room. But downstairs, I have this like random chest that was part of something else that I just use for storage. And that's got all the day to day ones in there. So it's got like the sock looking, Adidas NMDs in there. The Nike Air Max 2s, which might be the most comfortable shoes I own. I saw LeBron James wearing the University Gold ones on an episode of The Shop, And because I am a sucker for marketing, I was like, oh, those look cool on LeBron James. They will in turn make me look cool. And now they're the shoes that I wear when I walk to Chipotle every day.
Do you have like the pair that you're like, I don't know why I bought these? Because I have one and it is giraffe print Converse All-Stars.
Oh,
I don't know why I bought them. Yeah, I've worn them a couple times out, but I realized I can't really wear these with anything. And they're the high tops. They're not low tops. They're high top Converse All-Stars giraffe print.
I have a whole theory, Gojo, that Billy is so made for this game because I'm still so old school. I have to match the shoes that I'm wearing with an outfit. No. Whereas really, that's not hip. Billy doesn't give a shit about matching anything. No. So I'm shocked that he actually owns a pair of shoes that's hard for him to match with anything and bring himself to wear. He's got such a loud taste that he is so made for this shoe game. It's not even fun.
Well, the problem really, aside from the fact that they're giraffe print, is just like Converse, like Chuck Taylors for me aren't comfortable. So like, I know that they had like a little bit of a resurgence where people will like wear them out, but like, I just don't find them comfortable with like how modern sneakers are because there's like no support.
So I forget if it was the All-Stars or another, but there's a brand of Converse that they just, it might have been like the Chuck All-Star 2s or something they came out with.
They did a different
sole and they're padded. Yeah. And they're stupid comfy. So maybe if you're looking, cause Bill, now I'm interested, like, I want to know what it's going to take to get you to come into the game with us because it feels like you're waiting around in the wings right now for a reason to come. And now I'm trying to think here with Mike of what the way we could bring you back into this is.
This game passed me by. I'm out of this game. No. I'm retired, I think.
You know what it is, Gojo? We need to find the right collaboration.
No.
Yeah.
Kyrie had the friend shoes and then all of a sudden friend super fans are coming out there and getting Kyrie's. There's SpongeBob's, obviously. There was a Game of Thrones. We need to find some forged and fire collaboration shoes.
You need to find those shoes and then they need to be like a TJ Maxx, like 80% off, and then maybe I'll get into it. You know what I think is interesting, just by the fact that you have like a chest of like your everyday shoes, like I'm starting to realize that if I look at your feet, I'm realizing how important you're taking the situation that you're at that time. So like if you're going out with me and you're just wearing your everyday shoes, I realize this isn't that important to Gojo.
Well, that or I look at, because Billy, like you and I have actually been out, like one of the trips that I went down to South Beach to do the show with you guys, you and I went out after and we had a good time. There were some drinks had, and going to a place like that, like I don't want to put myself in a situation where I'm going to compromise a pair of like good shoes. So if I'm going out and I wear a pair of shoes and you see a little wear and tear on them, that means I'm ready to have a good time. Like I got my shit kickers on. We're ready to do the damn thing.
Now you've mentioned the sneakers app and we can't take this for granted that there's a lot of people listening to this pod that have absolutely no idea. And this may be an entree into this game. So the sneakers app for any sneakerhead is the lament of many, but when you finally win, there are fewer, more rewarding feelings. How do you approach a sneaker app? Because my success rate on this thing is right around 15 to 20%, hovering around there. What's your success rate? And do you have any sort of life hacks that could help increase my success rate?
Multiple devices. This is the biggest revelation I had, which is my family, in addition to being extremely supportive, feeds my, and I'll full on call it, like I know Mike, you're right at the breaking point here. I am at full on addiction and my family feeds it. And so what happened along the way is they all, kind of like you said, there's a thrill of the hunt that goes along with, especially not just the drops, but when you get the raffles on here, when you get off-whites and things like that going on there. And so I have my whole family enlisted. Like, my dad has no idea what's going on, but we put a sneakers app account on his phone. I tell him when the drop is, and I just tell him, go in here, click the button, it's all set for you, and then pray. And I have two pair. Nike did the collaboration with Jerry on the Fear of Gods. My dad has hit on a pair of Fear of Gods for me and a pair of off-whites because I have the whole family canvassing the scene. So it is it's a group effort.
Oh, my God. And I noticed that you get all the Travis Scotts. I don't know how you get these grails, but you've won them, and it's just the multiple devices paying dividends?
Yeah, multiple devices. Again, like I've had my brother hit on a couple. My brother's probably of my family, and I put all of them to work. He usually has it on a computer, a phone, and a tablet. So he's a three-device guy for the draw. Has no interest in keeping like 90% of them. Like he does it purely for the greater good. He has probably hit on more than anyone, definitely more than me.
Have they held you hostage yet? Like they know this is a pair that Mike really wants, but I want a favor from him. So they win them, and then they're trying to get things out of you so you can get the sneakers you want.
No, but now I'm really worried they're going to listen and realize they can 100% do that because I am that invested in the game at this point. So thank you for putting that into the universe, Bill. When it comes up, I'm going to think of you.
Gojo, when you go and buy some and get, you got the Gotham notification, when you get something that's a big hit, like one of the 10 off-whites or a Fear of God that has significant resale value, what's the temptation for you to say, you know what, I think I'm good on these, but I can make X amount of times more than what I paid for? What's the resale market looking like in your head when you get that Gotham notification?
Yeah, you know what? I haven't really ever thought about going down that road yet. Like the closest, the one where it looked like the biggest come up was when the Travis Scott ones, the backward swoosh, the brown ones came out. I probably could have made about $800 flipping those the day of. Those were especially in my size, because I wear a 14, so it's a little bit obscure. And so for my size, I could have probably made $800-$900 reselling those the next day. And it just didn't appeal to me. Like, again, like, I get these to wear because it's fun, because it's, you know, me and Mike exchanging text messages. It's that thrill of when you see someone else in public who's also wearing, like, at the train station, a pair of the Travis Scott 4s in that Houston blue, where you kind of just both give each other that subtle nod. Like, to me, that's the drug here. It's not the resale yet.
So I've gone down the resale path, and I've actually sold those Travis Scott Oiler 4s for like $500.
Ooh,
so
yeah.
I've gone down the path of, I have the idea of, if I get something, I have to look and see on StockX or GOAT and see how much I'm actually going to be able to get for them. And that kind of determines, like, will I buy them or will I not? But to me, those Travis Scott 1s were the best drop of the entire year. Are there better shoes that have dropped this year, in your opinion?
This year? No, like, honestly, the only one, I think Travis has dominated this year. I think the ones are great. And really, like, again, I told you, I'm huge on the ones, but for whatever reason, Travis's take on the six, and I don't own another pair of Jordan sixes, probably never will, but that forest, like, camo green six does something for me. I don't know what it is. So I think that would be the only rival to the Travis one for me.
I have a question for Anthony on, like, the resale front. So, like, it seems like you've done this a couple times.
Yes.
So, what do you look for when you're doing this? Like, do you decide, I'm going to buy this size because I know this is a popular size that sells? I know this is a more common size, because, like, Gojo's saying that he's a size 14, I think you said, right? So, like, that's not a super common size. So does that make it more valuable, or does that make it less valuable because there's less people size 14 looking for those shoes?
Right. So it's twofold. What I do just personally, I'm a 13. So I go after my size, and then that's where I have the devil and angel on my shoulder, like, hey, you should probably sell this, and be like, no, actually, these are pretty drippy, like, I'm going to keep them.
Yeah, because if you can't sell them, at least you can keep them.
Exactly.
Or if you were to buy, like, an 11 or, like, a more popular size.
I'll tell you the secret. The secret is you always go lower.
Shh, don't
anything. Tell anybody, right? Ooh, this is just between us. You go from size 8.5 to size 10. That's where every kid who's got some sort of mommy and daddy's credit card to say, I need to buy these for $900. Ooh. That's where they live, in size 8.5 to about 10.5. So that's the, if you lose out on your size, you get one of those sizes and you can flip them really quick.
Oh, wait. So on this app, you could win shoes that aren't your size?
Yeah. Because they don't know what size you are. You can just put whatever size you want.
So you could win and then not be able to do anything with these shoes.
Well, no, you win the size to flip
them.
Yeah, but what if your size is sold out?
That's fine. You flip them.
Yeah. Resale value doesn't.
And where do you sell them, like, eBay?
A specific size for this?
Billy.
No,
eBay.
Billy. No. Now we get into the GOAT app.
Ooh.
And StockX, which is, I don't really dig StockX. GOAT, the interface, it's so much easier. So GOAT. By the way, I found my patient zero. It wasn't anything spectacular. I was gifted a pair of Way of Wade's Das Fuego.
Wow.
Yeah, and they were really loud for me, and I was like, man.
Was that the basketball tournament?
Yeah, that was like a Heat Media basketball tournament that the winners were supposed to get these shoes, but I leveraged one of Izzy Gutierrez's relationships, who's also a crazy big sneakerhead, and I was gifted this pair, and then it began. And then the first time I spent any sort of serious money in the resale market on the GOAT app was the LeBron James Black History Month. So there are certain frustrations when it comes to the GOAT app. There are certain horror stories, but there are also certain success stories. Your whole take on these resale apps, Mike Golic Jr.?
I think they're great for access. Like, obviously, you get on here, and because it's a secondary market, the prices get jacked up. You get a true sense for the value for a lot of these shoes, but I just like it because if I'm really, like, hankering for something, and I'm like you, Mike, I haven't gotten to the point yet where I'm spending, like, four figures or something crazy like that you see on these shoes, But I knew you remember this from last year, one of the more coveted drops. I was obsessed with the Sean Wotherspoon 97s, and it was one of those things where it had sat in my cart for so long, I finally pulled the trigger, and I never would have been able to get them without GOAT, so I'm eternally grateful to it for that alone.
Where is Mike Golick Jr.'s head at when it comes to the Yeezys?
I'm not going to lie. Like, it's conflicted because I see what Kanye's become. Like, I grew up a huge Kanye stan just because I love the music, and obviously he has fully gone off the deep end in his personal life. He's punted on making, you know, music that he actually gives a shit about professionally. But the shoes are so damn comfy, and they go with a fair amount of stuff. Like, I just bought the Yeezy 500s, the one that looked like space mall walkers.
No.
And they're incredibly comfy, and I really like the way they look, and I don't know what to do. I do. I have like six pairs of Yeezys. I have like five different types of them. It's a weird conflict for me.
Holy crap. Like, I just looked up the Sean Wotherspoon shoe that you were about. This is the first shoe that you guys have talked about that I looked up. These things are so expensive, yeah. Gojo. Yeah. Like, this is insane.
Gojo, if you don't mind, how much did you actually pay for them? Are you willing to say how much you paid for them? Because I know what the price is on the secondary market. Are you willing to say what you got your deal for?
So when I bought them, I believe for those I paid like $640.
Jesus.
You know how many shoes you can get from TJ Maxx for that price? All of them. Every single shoe in the store.
The whole rack.
How does this work, by the way, this resale app that you guys are talking about? Is it like StubHub where like they get a percentage of like your purchase or your sale?
That's exactly how it works.
So there's a seller fee, and then obviously you can go and say, Billy, you want to buy my shoes. It's not a user to user. So I put them up. You have no idea who I am. All of a sudden, it selects my shoes. You pay for them. I get a day and a half to send them out to their facility to make sure that they're authentic. So they get authenticated. Then they send them to you. Once that happens, I get the money released. But with from like a 20% or 15% like fee.
What if you lie about the condition?
Then they get you, and then you're
banned. Send it back to you.
Yeah, and your rating gets low or something?
No, you just get banned. I think after a couple times, it's like strikes. Like, once you're done selling, or if you do fake ones, or if you do ones that are not the condition that you mentioned, you're off the platform.
Have either of you guys ever been burned by the GOAT app in terms of like of a purchase? Because I've had one slight burn on it.
In what way?
Well, I should have known what I was getting into, because I wanted to try. I went on this whole thing about how the Joyrides, especially the collaboration with OBJ, it's the most comfortable shoe I've ever worn. I have plantar fasciitis, and I need insoles for almost all my shoes. And then I started talking about NMDs and Ultra Boosts and give and takes as to what the most comfortable shoe is. And there was a large contingent of mentions that was, you have to try the Epic Reacts. So, not a particularly good-looking shoe. I was really just wanting to try it out, get a color like in khaki that I can just pair with one outfit. And it said open box. I didn't want to spend over $100 on this pair. So I was like, okay, fine. I put the shoes on, and while they're comfortable, the right shoe feels like it's a little smaller than the left shoe. I think that these might have been defective. Someone realized that and quickly resold them, and it checked out with GOAT, but there's something just a little off. Anybody ever been burned?
I have not, no. Like, I've had them catch it before, where you order a pair and it gets sent back because when they go through their verification process, they find them and that they're bunk, and so they send them back and you got to wait for another one. But I have not yet, you know, knock on wood now, been in that situation.
I've been good on getting burned. I have had a major steal, a major find. So on GOAT, you remember the 2K4 Huaraches that were the All-Star Game ones in blue, red, and white? Like one of the best basketball shoes of all time. So I play basketball all the time, and this is one of the shoes that I grew up like, holy shit, like this is it. Like Kobe was wearing them in the All-Star Game. I was like, I need these. Fast forward like 15 years later, I'm hanging out in my apartment in Connecticut on the GOAT app, probably a lot more than I should have been. I found them for $60, brand new, but open box, like you said. So they shipped them to me in, like, I don't even know what kind of box it was, but they came brand new, not even wearing on the bottom. So I have only but nothing good to say about the GOAT app. That's in my experience, at least.
How do you guys tie your shoes? You guys go bunny ears or loop, swoop, and pull?
Great question.
Big loop, swoop, and pull guy. My brother's a bunny ears guy, and it's one of the biggest rifts in our relationship.
Yeah. I will say, how I tie my shoes? Once.
Oh, you're one of those.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, never tie them again. Unless, like, someone steps in it, but I like to get the job done right, and I double knot it too.
Really?
And depending on how creative the laces are,
you crazy?
I tuck them in.
Okay.
Yeah. That's always my debate. I wanted to ask you guys because there's some shoes, like, I don't know how you guys are, but I look to see on the page, and sometimes they'll even post pictures of how people wear them. Like, am I supposed to show the laces on this shoe? Do I tuck them back? Like, what's the protocol on that? How do you guys go about deciding which ones to and to not show laces on?
For me, it all depends on how flashy the lace is and how much I like them. And texture has a lot to do with it. Also, some shoes, you just don't have the option. I do have the option on this piece of the Chinese New Year Pharrells.
Yeah.
I love those shoes. They're great. And I got a pretty good bargain on them on GOAT. And I love the laces on these. I love letting those things hang. I think they're gorgeous. But most shoes, I like to tuck inside just because also I don't want to be retying my shoes all the time. I just hate it.
So I go for the bunny loops like Chris was talking about. I go bunny loops, but I'm like Mike, I only tie them one time. So I always show laces and I always have them tied, but I just never take them out. So that's my thing. And what's your take on, remember back in the day you used to tie the knot on the top of the, like where the shoelace would go through?
Yes.
You would tie the knot and have them like that.
I even did that.
Oh man.
That's old school.
No, you ever middle school it where you tie it behind the ankle and you loop it back?
I did that.
I've only done that once, and it's because, so on the pair of Fear of Gods that I have, actually, super long laces, and this is the weird thing, for as good and like as expensive as even the normal, like the retail versions of those are, the zippers on, there's a zipper on the back of the shoe that goes up, and it's super flimsy, and so the zipper like holder on mine popped off, so I can't zip it up top, and so sometimes, just to keep the back from kind of leaking open a bit, I'll go around the back because usually those are under jeans anyway. So
Gojo, I know you weren't at the wedding. Dan's wedding, Tony Reale walks in, okay, floats in really on a cloud. All black suit, black Fear of Gods. I go to Mike. Mike, he's playing on a different level.
Ooh.
Match the black Fear of Gods with the all black outfit. It was like, wow, ooh, all right, you're done. Yeah. You won.
And I wasn't a Fear of Gods fan until I saw Tony rock him the way, because I think they just look so forced to me. They're bulky shoe, especially the newer ones. I just flatly couldn't get over thinking, that's an ugly shoe. That's an ugly shoe. But it looked absolutely great when it matches. See, I'm big in the matching though. Like I got the Jordan 1's crimson, which actually don't actually have a crimson color. I'm very confused by that whole name. But I match them with
pink.
If I'm gonna wear outlandish shoes, I gotta wear all black to make it sort of pop, and that's how I make it matchy in my mind. Junior, your most comfortable pair of shoes is blank.
My most comfortable pair of shoes is, that's a good question. I probably go back to, like, again, the day-to-day one. Those Air Max 2, like, it's weird. It looks funny on the outside, but they are stupid comfortable, and I wear them damn near every day in like, some way, shape, or form if I'm going to go run errands.
Do you have a pair of Joyrides?
I don't, and I was going to ask you about that. Like, I was super hesitant about it, but I saw you posting about the comfort. Is that worth investing in?
It looks so gimmicky. I had so many reservations about actually getting it because I'm like, okay, how could a bunch of tiny little balls at the base of your feet be anything but a gimmick? But Gojo, I swear to God, it works. Now, I wouldn't recommend these as an everyday pair of shoes because I really don't know how strong that sole could possibly be because the shoe is so friggin' comfortable. I will say, try to get the OBJ collabs because they don't have a lace, and the lace is my big issue with the one pair of Joyrides that I have that are super, like, hot, flashy pink, because the laces, they try to be super creative. They're on the side. It's a real pain in the ass to put this shoe on. So, points deducted for the traditional Joyrides, but get yourself the collabo.
All right, good to know. I'm with you. Like, I'm with you. Like, if I can get away with not tying a shoe more than once, absolutely. Like, slip-on kings forever. That is the way I would choose to live my life.
Roy, how's your shoe game?
Not great. Not great at all. I believe I have two pairs of sneakers and maybe six pairs of shoes total.
Yeah, but he does have a very nice pair that has obviously been, because of what he says, only having two pairs. They've seen better days, but he's got a very flashy pair of white Ultra Boost that he was gifted that were pristine, obviously, when he got it, and they're starting to show their wear.
I usually wear a pair of shoes 6 months to 2 years every single day.
My man.
Straight?
You're a man after my father's own heart, Roy.
Yeah, well, I don't have the disposable income to, you know, mess around with apps and pay $600 some odd for
these kids and their apps.
Understood, but there's ways to ball on a budget.
Yeah.
I get bills to pay. Also, there are some amazing finds at places like Marshalls.
Dude,
and Ross.
That's what I'm telling you guys. $600 you can buy all the shoes. I was at a Marshalls like this weekend. And I saw these Ultra Boosts that were like a teal color, but it was like dark, and it was $55.
But were they
bucks.
Ultra Boosts though?
They were 100%.
No.
These weren't like the Fly Boosts or whatever.
Is this U.S. Polo Association?
No.
Exactly.
No. These were Adidas Ultra Boosts in the Ultra Boost boxes and everything. Like, these had the boxes, not the ones that had like the number, the size written in silver marker underneath. No. These were in the box, verified, real deal. The problem is, it was like size 5.5, size 7. And it's like, I can't do anything with these shoes.
Yeah, Nordstrom Rack, sometimes they have like really beautiful shoes that I'm like, I wish I was a size 23.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This would be such a great day if I were actually Shaq.
How did they get these University of Michigan exclusive Jordan pairs for size 23? Oh, that's because it actually belonged to a basketball player at some point.
You know what, Billy, the more I think about it too, like, cause I'm with you, like, finding a shoe under cost is also a delight, and the GOAT app actually does this thing where they show you all the shoes that are listed for under retail, but also on Twitter, and Mike, I think I see you follow these too, like, Kicks Under Cost, you know, all these different sneaker accounts that let you know where these massive sales, like, I've gotten shoes for like $30 or $40 before on there.
I follow them, and every time that I see a pair that I like, they're gone when I go there. Or like, it's not the advertised price. Like, it's like, oh, look at these brand new shoes, and they're like 80% off. It's like $2.94, and I like click it, and it's like, that's not a thing that exists. It's $6,000.
Unfortunately, the best way to avoid wear and tear on shoes I found is having a shit ton of shoes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then you're not wearing a pair every day, because that the wear and tear really piles on there. In terms of shoe protection, what do you do, Mike Golick Jr.? Because I'm a crepe spray guy.
I am too. I actually took that from you. I saw you use it in the story one time on Instagram, and so I looked it up, and I've gone with the crepe spray ever since, and it's been money for me. I don't know about your experience with it. I'm assuming good, because you've posted about it a couple of times from what I've seen.
Yeah, I have the highest possible recommendation for the crepe spray. Just make sure to do it outside. Do not make the mistake of doing this, because I empty half a can on a pair of shoes. This is essentially like liquid plastic that you're spraying on your shoes, but the shoes maintain their texture. Also, you're going to want to be careful, because I learned the hard way on my Jordan 1s, because if they have a certain type of leather, you're going to want to avoid spraying the crepe spray on it, because it will affect how it looks. And certain shoes, like the other Jordan 1s that I recently got that had that pleather on them, I can't really, the name is escaping me, but I just got them on the sneakers app. You don't want to put
the shattered backboard ones?
Yes. No, different ones. Hang on. Let me get it on my sneakers app. Either way, you're going to want to pay attention to the texture of a shoe and decide whether or not it's even worth it to put some sort of protective coat on.
The Chicago UNC ones. Those are the ones you're talking about.
Yes. Those are nice, Mike. Yeah.
Those were very uncomfortable shoes.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah, very uncomfortable. But with Jordan shoes, it's always a mixed bag. The Jordan ones you can typically rely on in terms of comfort, because the Crimsons are super comfortable, but these are not at all comfortable because I guess the material, they're very boxy.
It's a damn shame. Now I say just spitballing here, I was sitting and thinking of this as you mentioned a couple of pairs that I've always really wanted. Do you guys have like a pair that's out there right now that you don't have yet that's on the bucket list? Like, man, if I come into some money that I wasn't expecting, I would absolutely finally push buy on the car.
Oh, dude, the ones that's escaping me right now are the Melody Asanis.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And are these exclusively a women's shoe? Because
yes.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. I got to get this pair. It's got a watch face on each boot. Each boot is a different color. By the way, the Jordan ones that are uncomfortable are the Retro High OG Fearless. That's a Chicago red, UNC blue, sort of hybrid, and a bunch of different color laces. But the Melody Asanis, I think that's the most gorgeous pair of ones I've ever seen.
I really want the Kirkchen 4s.
So these shoes have watches on them?
Yeah, here, let me show you.
I know, I'm looking at them. Why do they have that?
Chris.
I mean, it's rad. I've never really seen anybody do that. It's a really cool gimmick. I can't really answer why they have a watch face
no
on
clue.
The shoes, but it looks dope, and it's super flashy.
I guess that's the thing, right? Is like at some point, like I'm like you when it comes to a flashy pair of shoes. The rest of my outfit tends to be super bland. And so I have like progressively, it's, you know, it is like the gateway drug. Like I need progressively louder shoes now to register on the Richter scale for me.
Yeah. In your mind, Gojo, what is the 2019 shoe of the year?
The 2019 shoe of the year. I would probably have to go with that, like the Jordan 1 Cactus Jacks. Like the, for some reason, it's just, again, I'm super simple with all that stuff. I thought it was something where obviously it was a big time hype beast get. Like everyone was talking it up, but when I got it in person, I actually wore it to your guys' live show in New York. And for me, it was practical. It's not too gaudy if you're looking for that, but it's still the backward swoosh, I think, makes a pretty nice statement. So that was my favorite shoe of the
year. What was your take on the low? Because they came out with the low one with the black interface. What do you think of the low ones?
So I have those two. They're pretty comfy. Like in general, I'm not a huge fan of the lows there, but when I got them in person, they wear nice enough. That's another one that can become more of a day to day shoe. And it's kind of a nice flex because it is at least tied to the rest of that collection, even if it's not on par with the other ones.
Yeah. I really like the melodies. I think that's as creative as you can get.
What size do you have to get?
Ones. I don't know. I've never had to
try to do the math. Like what's a woman's size for me?
Well, so it's a, I was doing a lot of research into the woman size conversion. And in general, I think with that, it's about a size above, but they only went up to size 12 in the women's.
It's two. So like men's shoes. Yeah. Men's shoes are two sizes smaller. So like if you're going to buy, you know, sneakers, like for example, a lot of sneakers are unisex sneakers. If you really look at them, you know what I mean? Like there's not a big difference. So like I've gotten my sister for gifts like running shoes that would be men's shoes, but they could be women's shoes also. So I always get two sizes smaller than her. So like if she's like a 7.5, for example, you get her a 5.5 in men and then the shoes will fit her. I mean, it all depends also on like the brand, but like for the most part, two sizes seems to be the rule. What's to stop you, by the way, from just putting watch like faces on your shoes?
It's not the same.
Why not?
No.
Well, aren't you buying custom shoes from some guy? Like, why can't you just put a couple watch faces on the shoes?
That's actually the direction I wanted to take this conversation. The obvious next step in Gojo's game is I've noticed he has zero customs. These are all very by the book. And I have started wading into the customs water, and I have commissioned 5 pieces.
What?
That are coming my way. Yeah, I couldn't just... I didn't wade into the waters.
Wow.
I just cannonballed straight in.
What do custom shoes cost, if you don't mind me
asking? Yeah, Mike, I have a lot of questions, because I have not waded here at all.
So, I don't know the full total of the damage. This just so happens to be a fan of the show that's actually created a pair of customs for Juju Gotti, and in the past, he's offered to gift me one. I refused the gift, and I was just
I said,
like...
no, thank you. I do not want one. I want 5.
I said, I would like to pay you for your work. So right now, the only thing that's come out of my pocket so far is the actual cost of the shoe. I've told him the ideas, and whatever the damage is, the damage is. I'm sure it'll be reasonable. It's all right. I got a pair of ones that are going to be custom DDA Drogba shoes. I got a pair, this one's wild and wacky out there, American Psycho Customs, but with a Nike Air Monarch as the shoe.
Back to the dad shoe.
Oh, yeah.
Because, and there's a reason behind this, that workout scene where Patrick Bateman's in his underwear doing crunches, the shoes that he's wearing when he's doing that and when he's chasing victims with a chainsaw, he's wearing a shoe that resembles Monarchs.
These shoes are awful.
Yeah, they're the Pete Carrolls. They're the Air Pete, the quintessential dad shoe, but I wanted
to... And he's painting these shoes?
He's painting them American Psycho themed. Then I got a pair of 3 stripes classic Adidas shell tips that are going to be white stripe themed. And I got I'm super proud of this, a Nicolas Cage Boost pair that's coming my way.
Mike.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage themed. So I'm super psyched.
You're missing one more, by the way. The one of you got 4. You're missing one more. The Fight Club one.
The Fight Clubs. Yeah. So I'm getting classic Vans done up in Fight Club, just because Tyler Durden in that final scene was sort of wearing loafers and he looked like a badass. So I'm getting Fight Clubs as well. I will report back, obviously post them, but I think I'm going to be a customs guy from here on out.
Man, you know what? I'm not going to lie. It's a road that I've seen because, you know, a lot of the NFL guys will do it with cleats, especially where they'll have custom sneakers. Guys do that. But I've never actually met anyone who's gone down. Mike, I'm really jazzed about this because this is like the next step.
I know. And then you know what happens is I got a guy.
Yeah.
I got a guy.
You got a plug.
Yeah, yeah. I got a guy, and then people reach out to me, and, you know, I'll do you this favor. And it's already one thing that I've noticed, Gojo, and I'm sure you started reaping some of the rewards. You become an Instagram shoe guy with any sort of pull. People start reaching out to you, and you get certain opportunities that may not have presented themselves before. Like this week, I'm going to a local shop. I will shout them out because they want to gift me a pair of Yeezys, and Daddy is not
Whoa,
saying no to
wait
that.
A second.
Go off, King.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Yeah, yeah. Daddy, and that's why I always tag Goat on the off chance that Goat yes. will be like, you know what? We're going to get you because I've seen these Randy Scotts and Tony Collins and Pablo Torres out here with their hashtag gifted by Adidas hashtags and getting all
Wait
these free
second.
Pairs, and this is bullshit because they are not shoe people the way that Gojo and I are shoe people.
Thank
I
want to you.
Be gifted by Adidas.
Thank you.
At first, I thought you said like Randy Scott has his own shoe, like the Randy Scotts. I'd wear those.
are those right next to the Air Kirkjins in your locker?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Call back to that joke. He was really proud of it.
That was good.
I laughed a little too hard at that, I'm yeah. be honest.
Who do you think is the next big shoemaker in the game? Because New Balance for sneakerheads has really come on strong, and it's not the Kawhi stuff. It's really like their casual line of
their
shoes.
Their Ronnie Feig stuff is fire,
yeah,
by the
it's,
way.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And the resale value on New Balances and what many would consider just traditional dad shoes is insane. Dad shoes are super in right now, and for women, these, I'm not crazy about this fad, the dinosaur shoes are just super huge,
yeah.
blocky things that the Jenners are pretty much
the
responsible
Filas
for.
The Filas are back.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Well, I think they're back because who's they got Kendall
yeah.
doing
yeah.
their stuff. Yeah, Kendall's a big-time influencer and all of that, but that was a classic buy low. Filas all the way back, the way the Champion was.
It is insane. The one that it like literally this morning pinged for me because, again, I told you, the Wotherspoons were a big hit for me last year, and I saw they're early right now. Like, he just put out a couple images, but he's doing stuff with Asics right now.
Yeah.
So I'm very interested to see how that collab goes. Asics is obviously something that's been, you know, prevalent but in a very, like, niche role so far. This could be an interesting start to maybe them climbing back in the same way New Balance did.
This is horrible news. I love Asics, and I don't want to be spending a ton of money on Asics because Travis Scott decided to wear Asics, or Khloe Kardashian wants to wear Asics all of a sudden.
Sorry, Bill.
How do I stop this?
I'm not entirely sure, but I think there's a new way that you can pivot. The most advanced sneakerheads, they go out now and they go to boutique shops. Total, like, originals, not tethered to major companies like Nike. Like, Sia Collective is someone that I follow on Instagram, and I'm dying to get a pair. You have to find the next great up-and-coming designer, get in on the ground floor, and then you could be sitting on an empire, Billy Gill.
I'm
it
good.
Feels like your play, Bill.
No, I'm good. I'm telling you, I'm a Maxinista, man.
If you can get a pair of custom shoes, Billy, what would it be?
Custom shoes?
Yeah, not just like what's painted on the shoe, but the actual shoe itself.
The Kirkjins.
What type of shoe? Not the Air Kirkjins. We're not going to make that joke anymore.
So, like, what model shoe would
yeah.
I get?
Like,
I
what's your favorite shoe, basically?
I don't know. I mean, I don't have a favorite shoe. I'll just put on comfortable shoes.
You haven't looked at a pair of shoes and said, I would like that pair of shoes. Price is not an option here.
I
don't
definitely haven't looked at, like, a pair of shoes and been like, man, this shoe would look great if someone scribbled all over them with paint. You know what I mean?
Maybe the Michael Doliaks.
Ooh.
You're still out here with these jokes. You're not going to...
Chris is going to be such a good, like, dad once. Like, he's already a dad, but I'm saying in terms of, like, dad jokes, like, he's going to be so good at making terrible jokes to embarrass his daughter.
Oh, my God. I can't imagine Chris at, like, his daughter's first date.
Oh, my God.
Like, when
oh,
yeah. when she brings him home, the stuff that... the material Chris is going to have ready in the living room.
I'm just
going to
do the bad boy scene.
No, I'm going to do the bad boy scene.
Roy's going to do the bad boy scene.
It's so much better that you guys had daughters than sons, because, like, if you had a son, you couldn't really, like, go all in with, like, the dad joke in terms of, like, embarrassing your child. But I feel like the fact that you had a daughter, like, the dating scene is really a great example.
Yeah.
Like, because as soon as dates come over, you're going to be, like, in full embarrassment mode, wearing your Air Kirkjins, your customized Doliaks, and then just telling jokes that nobody gets.
Gojo, if you can get a pair of customs, what would you get?
Pair of customs? You know what? I thought about this because I went to the Nike has that innovation center that they opened up in New York City, the huge five-story store, and they give you a bunch of those base options. Like, sticking with the script, like, I would probably do it on a set of ones. Like, I just love what a there are so many options just because you have so many different panels on the thing to work with. So I'd love to let someone go to town on a set of ones. Like, I saw the ones that you sent the other day, like the, you know, the custom Dan Le Batard looking ones. Like, you can, I just think you can do so much with it. I would love to see someone just take those for a spin and do whatever they want.
Do whatever they want. You wouldn't have a specific design in mind.
Yeah, you know what? I probably, honestly, for me, it would probably, and I'd love to do this with Nike. I was big into the collaboration that Adidas did with Dragon Ball Z a while back. I thought there were some good ones in there, but I think you can do so much. Like, I was big into Dragon Ball Z. Dragon Ball Super, the next in the franchise, just finished running this last year. It was like 130 new episodes that I went through, and I would love for them to do some sort of, like, Super Saiyan God, Air Jordan, you know, Jordan 1 type custom. I think that would be sick.
You're like a closet dork, huh?
Huge. Huge.
What's like the weirdest, like, dorkiest thing that you're into? Like, are you into, like, the Pokemon cards and, like, the magic cards and all that, or no?
I was big into Pokemon cards. Pokemon just dropped a new game, the latest in the series for Nintendo Switch, that I bought just to play Super Smash Brothers, and now I'm going to use just to play the new Pokemon game.
Wow. So you own a Switch just to play Super Smash Brothers?
I have Super Smash Brothers, and I have Dragon Ball Z Kai, the Dragon Ball Z video game for Switch. Those are the only two games I own for it.
So I bought a Switch, and I think the only game that I bought for it was Mario Kart. And I was like, I'm just going to have Mario Kart parties where people are going to play Mario Kart. I haven't had a single Mario Kart party yet, but I still have the Switch, and I'll play occasionally. And I also have, like, a Sonic the Hedgehog game that was, like, purchased from my wife's little cousin, but he already had the game, and it was too late to return. So, like, I have that game that I'll play occasionally. But it's the same thing. I bought the system just for a game.
Oh, Bill, you know what I did that with? It's even worse. So, like, you have the, at least the Switch, like, takes up minimal space, right? Like,
yeah.
You kind of put that off to the side.
Well, that's the thing I like about the Switch is that it could be, like, a platform, like a, you know, like a regular gaming system, like an Xbox or a PlayStation or whatever, but it's also, like, a handheld thing. Like, it's very versatile.
It's got it all.
Yeah.
It's got everything. You know what doesn't have that? The air hockey table that I bought for my house instead of a dining room table.
Wow.
And I was like, just like you thought, Bill, I was like, you know what?
You are so not married.
Oh, Mike, it was like the dumbest young single person, well, in a grand scheme and a grand pantheon of dumb young single things I've done. But when I first got it, I've been in the house I'm in now for like 2-3 years. And when I first got in, I was like, you know what? Who needs a dining room table? I'm young. I'm going to have parties. My friends are going to come over and we're going to play air hockey. It has been used in 3 years, 4 times.
Oh, man.
I mean, it is just an absolute embarrassment.
You still have it though.
Oh, yeah.
Did you get a dining room table or you're just still with the air hockey table?
Just put chairs surrounding it.
I want to get, like, eventually one. You remember how, like, pool tables used to have the top you could put over it so it would kind of
mimic a
table?
Yeah.
I need to get one of those, but I'm lazy as shit and just spend my excess money on shoes, so here we are.
I used to have the Fisher-Price 3-in-1 table, yeah, where it was like the pool table, the air hockey table, with no air, by the way.
No air
hockey table, the pool table, and the ping pong table. Yeah. But it was, like, smaller, so, like, it was really cool as a kid, but, like, as you're, like, get older, you realize, like, this is a little tiny table.
Really,
like,
tiny.
It's really hard to play ping pong on a table this size. You know what you should do, Gojo, is you should do the next, like, the next college football, like, show that you guys do at your house. You should do it around the air hockey table, like you and Fitch just playing air hockey.
I got to find some way to get some use out of this thing because it really, like, it's become sad. Like, people walk in and I have to explain that no one plays it because no one walks past the air hockey table that's in the front of the freaking house and just doesn't say anything.
Holy shit, Pringles came out with a turkey flavor.
They do that every year, Chris.
Oh, man, I've never had it.
Okay.
I'm glad I stuck around for that Thanksgiving joke that you made.
It's so good. Have you guys tried this yet? I didn't know. Have you guys tried these turkey flavors?
Where can you get them?
Probably at a grocery store.
Mm. At most? You started saying most, and then you realized.
At most places that you buy Pringles.
Is this something that I can just Amazon?
If I wanted to hire turkey-flavored Pringles, could I get them on ZipRecruiter?
Yeah, for sure.
No doubt.
Gojo brought up a great point. I would do ham. I would be more apt to have ham-flavored chips than turkey.
Honey-baked ham.
I like honey-baked. The glaze on top.
Would you make them pink, though? Like pink chips?
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
No, you can't.
The glaze would make it more of an orangey color.
As a little kid, this is kind of gross. I would take the ranch-flavored Pringle, and it had, like, such a thick coat of, like, white powder on it. I'd just lick it first, and then I'd go. And then I'd just... sorry.
You're a kid. I mean, you've been
there. And as a 30-plus-year-old man, I've done that with the Tostitos lime chips.
Oh, but they're limey.
Yeah, it was
sometimes
limey.
Sometimes it just so does it. I could put my face in a vat of that lime dust. I don't know how they do it.
You said earlier this week, Mike, that stuffing should be a year-round side.
Yeah.
Stuffing's overrated.
Bad take.
You can explain your take.
I agree with you.
It all depends on the type of stuffing. Sometimes people do too much with stuffing.
Right.
Put raisins in it. You're doing too much. Right. Let's keep it, you know, breadcrumbs.
The OG stuffing.
Onions, too much onion. Too much celery. Onion. We can put a little pieces of diced ham in there.
Yeah, I don't like celery. Celery is not
my
good.
My wife's mom does a really good, like, Italian style sausage stuffing. That's amazing.
That sounds incredible.
It's amazing. Yeah. I don't like the standard Thanksgiving one. Like, you mentioned celery. Like, I don't.
I like sausage stuffing.
Yes. Like, I don't like the vegetable. Like, I kind of want to avoid the celery. That's really what turns
me
off.
My wife doesn't like stuffing, which is why I'm bound to the once a year that I can eat stuffing because she says it's too mushy.
Yeah, I'm with her.
But you're out here eating mashed potatoes.
Same
it's mush.
She's also probably mushy. You guys are eating you guys are probably getting like just like the store bought pre-made stuff. You
gotta get
the
ain't cooking.
Yeah. You gotta get the
You're not cooking either.
True.